Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading in the Amplified, starting in verse 16. May He grant you, out of the rich treasury of His glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now to Him who by, in consequence of, the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To Him be glory in the Church, and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Something that I watch for as a pastor is brought up in verse 17. And in the Old King James, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And here, the Amplified translates it just a little bit differently to expand the meaning, that Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted, and they omit the grounded part, but the grounded is in the original, that you may be rooted and grounded deep in love and founded securely on love. Now, Paul told the young preacher not to lay hands on any man quickly. And there was a reason for that. And it's not just the laying on of hands, but that is one instance of this. We want to be careful about something. I get very concerned when I see a person, especially a younger person or a person who has not been around very long, and they start undertakings. And I'm not necessarily talking about undertakings like outreach with the ministry. That's all in its place, and I prefer if they get involved that way, because it is a part of their training they're bringing up as a spiritual person. But I get concerned when I see somebody, for example, leave for, let's say, they go away for something, let's say, college. They'll leave the place of their covering. And it's invariably a good reason. Nobody does anything for a reason they consider to be a bad reason. Everybody always considers what they do to be for good reason. But good reason and God's reason are not always the same. We have to be concerned with God's reason, not with good reason. And sometimes you'll see people do things like go away to college or do something where they leave the ministry, not to go into another ministry that is preaching the full counsel of the Word of God. By the way, you never leave a ministry that preaches the full counsel of the Word of God. You don't leave them. Pastor Stevens was talking about that recently in a message that I was listening to. You don't leave a Word of God preaching ministry. You just don't. He was talking about the justice. It was a message on justice. And he said, people will do that. They'll leave. And what they're actually doing is they're treating that pastor and that church unjustly when they do that. So you don't do that. But people do. People leave. When they leave, I get concerned because in some cases they're not well rooted and grounded. It's imperative for us to become rooted and grounded. Without rooted, there is no grounded. So it is imperative for us to become rooted and grounded. It is possible that a person can be rooted but not grounded. It's also possible that a person can be grounded but not rooted. But we need to be rooted and grounded. Now, if I am rooted in the wrong things, I won't be properly grounded. Perhaps I'm rooted, but I'm rooted in a way that is not of God. I've known enough people who were rooted but not grounded. And these people were sometimes even in leadership positions because you can't really always tell who is like that. And they are rooted, but they are rooted in the wrong way. They're rooted in some sort of striving. They're rooted in performance. Here's one that a lot of people don't get. They're rooted in role playing. You never play a role. Never. You never play a role. Pastors don't play the role of a pastor. You never play a role. Because playing a role is pretending. Playing a role is not the empowerment of the Holy Spirit inside of a person's heart. You never play a role. Spouses can play roles. Young people often do this when they are looking for a spouse. They find somebody they're interested in and they start playing a role. That's a very dangerous thing to do, playing roles. Because if it is not from the Holy Spirit, it will not last. I've known situations, and I know this is true because the person came to me themselves and told me this was true. I know a situation where a man started a church. It was not in Maryland. And he told me he was playing a role. And he was very concerned about that, and he was just playing a role of a pastor. Because he was good at the role. And he could put on the show. And a lot of people were convinced by it. And he confided in me because he was a Bible college friend. He confided in me. He said, you know, this isn't real. I'm just playing this role. I'm good at this. But it's not real. And I know it's not. But he loved the role. And so he started a church this way, and he got a fair amount of people to the church. Eventually, he couldn't sustain the role. Eventually, he lost the church. You see, he wasn't rooted and grounded. He was rooted, but not grounded. When we are not grounded and we are simply rooted, we can't be sustained. Because if I am rooted in the right way, then I will become grounded. But if I'm rooted in something, and he was very devoted to the role, but yet in his own heart, he knew it was not the reality of him. And perhaps he was even called. He was gifted. Gifted people will often play roles. Perhaps he was even called. But he could not sustain it without the energization of the Holy Spirit. The energization of the Holy Spirit will not come if a person is not properly rooted. It's easy for people to get anxious. Young men get anxious about their call. Young women get anxious about their relationships. Sometimes young men do too. And people get anxious and they start playing these roles. That's the worst thing a believer can do for themselves because it's deceptive, but it's a self-deception. I knew a guy who was very well rooted in a role, and he took on a leadership position in a large church. Unfortunately, the role didn't sustain him spiritually. And after a number of years, he started sneaking out secretly to bars. After a few more years, he divorced his wife. And at that time, he also left the ministry. He moved away. He was a casualty. He doesn't go anywhere anymore. He stayed in touch with some of the people from his church. I know them. And he doesn't go anywhere to another church. He just left altogether. He was rooted, but in the wrong way. On the other hand, it's possible to be rooted correctly. A person who is rooted correctly is rooted in the love of God. When a person is rooted in the love of God, it is always through faith. I cannot be properly rooted unless I'm rooted in love through faith. That faith thing is all important. Because without it, it's impossible to please Him. Without it, we don't live. Not the way that God desires. And so, we have to be rooted through faith. Now, that rooting is something that nobody can see. When you consider, for example, a plant, how it is rooted. And when it's talking about being rooted, it means to send down a deep root. Where the water is sought out by the roots. And sometimes it goes far below the soil, and sometimes it spreads far away from the plant itself. But we have to be rooted in such a way that the root is very deep. And nobody can see that. Because without a deep root, we have no hope of real fruit. You see, in 2 Kings 19:30, the Word of God says that the remnant shall again root downward and bear fruit upward. Without a deep root into places where nobody can see, I'm not going to bear any outward fruit. Rooting always takes place before fruit takes place. It is possible for me to mimic fruit. This is why the wrong type of rooting, like a role playing, is dangerous. Because it mimics fruit. And so my rooting is not downward, and my rooting is not upward either. It's outward. In other words, it's a fruit that is there for your consumption. But it's not a fruit that is a bona fide life-giving fruit, nor is it the result of bona fide life. But it's there for other people's consumption. What that means is that I am playing this role so that I can somehow fit in, so that I can somehow be accepted, so that I can somehow get a desired goal. We're playing this role, and our society teaches us to play roles like this, but God doesn't want us playing roles. God wants us developing roots. If a person is not well rooted, they will become a casualty. If a person goes, for example, on the mission field and they're not well rooted, they will become a casualty. By casualty, I don't mean that they'll leave one ministry and join another. By casualty, I mean they'll stop having a life with God altogether. Casualties are made because of shallow roots. We need deep roots. If I have a deep root, it doesn't really much matter what happens on the surface. Have you ever tried to kill English ivy? Forget it. They have roots you can't even see. You dig up the roots and you have roots farther down than you ever thought you would. And a few years later, it's back sprung up. You can't see it. We used to have that at our house, English ivy. Thought we finally killed it. Tried for years. Thought we finally killed it. Got rid of it, dug it out, went underground, sprayed everything I could think of on it. This year it's back. You can't kill this stuff. Why? Deep root. When a person has a deep root, you can try them, you can test them, you can hurt them, You can even cut them down. You can't stop them. You can wound them, but they'll always come back because of a deep root. We need to establish our hearts with a deep root. If we have a deep root, we'll be well grounded. By grounded, I mean we will have a very firm foundation, and that foundation is in the love of God. The rooting takes place through faith. And so I respond to the Word of God in faith. I receive the message and I mix faith with what I hear. Now that mixing faith with what I hear is incredibly important. But there is one more thing we don't generally talk about, and this we should talk about. Perhaps we'll mention it now a little bit. We hear in the new creation. We have to hear in the new creation. We do not hear in the old. We have to hear in the new. Jesus said that if you pour new wine into old wineskins, it bursts. What does that mean practically? That when I hear the Word of God, I can't put the finished work into the old man. I have to put it into the regened man. I have to put it into the new creation. When I hear the Word of God, I always receive it as the new creation. I never receive it from the perspective of the old nature. I never receive it in the old nature. Because the new wine will burst the old wineskins. And so we have to put new wine in new wineskins. You see, that new wine and the new wineskin, that's the new creation. And that's the finished work message. But the old can't handle that. The old won't be able to utilize it. And as a matter of fact, to the old nature and the old way of thinking, it'll become a source of frustration. And a person may even resent the whole message. They may resent the gospel. They may resent the finished work because they can't experience it. Because they're trying to put new wine into an old wineskin. They're trying to put, let's say, a new creation message into an old creation identity. And when we do that, we can't handle it. It frustrates us. It makes us angry. It makes us resentful. It makes us bitter against the message because we don't experience it. We don't see ourselves that way. And it's telling us something that goes contrary to our own identity, to our own way of thinking. It brings guilt rather than release. Why? Because it's new wine in an old skin. You never receive the Word of God according to the old sin nature. You always receive it in the new nature. How do I do that? Well, I think a very good practice for every believer is to prepare their hearts for a message. To quiet down before messages, not to stir up, but to quiet down. Some people sometimes come into church with no expectation. They say, well, it's Sunday, I'm here at church. But they have no expectation. So how are they going to receive without expectation of receiving? And they think, well, when I get there, I'll start focusing. Yeah, you will, and maybe you'll receive some, but you could have received a lot more. And so we enter into this with expectation. With the new creation, we ask God to give us something from the message, and He does. And we're listening in the new creation. And when that takes place, roots start to form. Roots always seek out water. If I water the soil properly, the roots will grow. Roots will always seek out water. Sometimes God brings me into dry places. The dry places are there precisely for that purpose, so the roots will seek out the water. Without the dry places, roots never get deep. And so what I need is I need to keep watering the soil as much as possible, and then I get out of church and God sometimes arranges tests and trials in my life to dry up the soil as fast as possible, it seems. Why? Because what happens to water when it gets in the ground? It goes down. It percolates through the soil. And so we have to send down those roots. We have to pursue the Word of God. We have to, in academic discipline often, think purposely with the Word of God through those dry times. And that is sending down a root. Why? Because there's another one coming that if the root isn't established now, then the other one's going to take me out. And so God is going to keep me in places where I keep growing, where the root keeps going down. When that takes place, I'm going to have a good foundation, because the only way to be sustained in that, and my emotions will make me very clearly aware of this if this is not the case, but the only way to be sustained in that is to be oriented to the love of God. If I am oriented to the love of God in my trials, then I'm going to be immovable, because I'm going to be well grounded. That's going to come through the Word of God, mixing faith with what I hear. If I have that foundation, it's going to be very difficult to move me. Sometimes you see people who walk away before they are rooted. And sometimes as a pastor I can do something about it, sometimes I can't. I've counseled people where I said, this is not good for you to leave this place, and they left it anyway. Sometimes it's too early. Sometimes people go on the mission field perhaps too early, or get into marriage too early, or go on some other faith adventure too early. And it's not wisdom. The reason is because they're not well rooted. They think they are. Well, actually, often they don't understand being rooted. They don't know what it means. And so you say to them, you may not be well enough rooted, and it means nothing to them, because they think, well, I go to church and there's thoughts going through my head, and so I can make my decisions. I pray, sort of, a little bit, sometimes, and I can make my decisions. A person like that is not well rooted. It's imperative that Christians be rooted. What happens when the root is not deep? Then the enemy comes and he tears me out. And so I have to be deeply rooted. I don't worry about bearing fruit. I don't worry about what my fruit is like. I worry about what the root is like. Because if the root is right, the fruit will follow. In verse 18, the Word of God says, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. That is, the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it. This is what it means to be well rooted and grounded. That I don't just intellectually recognize that God loves me. My intellectual consent takes me a very short distance. But that I can actually, by experience, know that I'm loved by God. The root, when it is deep, will give me that experience. The experience, when it is established, provides my foundation. A person who does not have the experience that they need with the love of God is not a person who's going to trust Him easily. A person who does not have the experience that they need with the love of God is not a person who will take a step of faith easily. A person who's not well experienced with the love of God is a person who's always going to be looking for some kind of sight indicator. But the fact of the matter is that the person who doesn't need these things and still believes God has a very good foundation. That foundation is provided for us when we go through life, we go through the things, as our roots are getting deeper and deeper, and we respond to God, His Word, His promises throughout the challenges of our lives. We keep responding to His character and we see Him come through for us. That's that experience that gives us hope. The patience comes because of the fact that we're rooted. The experience is the foundation, and that hope is a confident expectation that is provided because we're deeply rooted in experience. We've got to be well rooted. If we're not rooted and grounded, we don't have much going on. If we're not rooted and grounded, we'll be very easily moved. If we're not rooted and grounded, if we have a religious spirit and a religious mentality, then we're going to start role-playing. We're going to start pretending in some way or another. Because we're half trying to convince other people and half trying to convince ourselves. If we are rooted and grounded, we don't need those things. Because the focus is right. The life reveals it. The thought is right. There aren't questions, there's just assurance. And I'm not saying that I have all the answers. The solution to the question is not the answer. The solution to the question is the assurance. You see, in Hebrews 11:1, faith is not an answer. How many people pray and expect an answer, and until the answer comes, they live in trepidation? Does that mean that God won't answer their prayer? No. If they had enough faith to pray, they have enough faith to receive an answer. Matthew 7:7. Ask and you will receive. But the experience in the waiting process becomes one of trepidation. One of anxiety. Will God really do what I asked? Will God really do what He said? Will God really be true to His promises? And the experience becomes one of anxiety. But here it says that faith is assurance. So the solution to the question is not the answer. The solution to the question is assurance. Will God come through? The solution is assurance. You see, I don't need to see God come through to know that He will come through. In other words, I know He's going to come through before He actually does. Because I have assurance. This is why people can have faith rest. This is why people can go through difficulty. Not because they necessarily get the answer when they want the answer, but they have assurance as they're waiting for the answer. This is why people can wait on the Lord and renew their strength in Isaiah 40:30. Because they live in assurance. Not in answers. This is why God can tell somebody, this is going to be your call, but give them no other information, and they're confident in that, and they actually do enter into that call not having any other answers. Because as they have assurance, they stay in the place where God can order their steps to enter into their call. The thing that takes us out is a lack of assurance. The thing that makes us anxious is a lack of assurance. The things that makes us insecure and doubtful is a lack of assurance, not the lack of the answer. The answer is present. In Habakkuk 2:3, the answer is waiting. And it's coming. And you may have to wait for the period of time that it's coming in, but it is coming. And so the answer is there. So it's not a lack of answer. It's a lack of assurance. Faith is assurance. And in the Amplified it says, and it is proof of the things that we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Being well rooted provides assurance. Assurance provides foundation. And so, we live in a deep assurance whereby we have a secure foundation. The assurance that we get is regarding God's faithfulness, regarding the truth, the veracity of His promises and His claims of His character. That's our assurance. Then it continues, "Now to Him who by, in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and to do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." When I have that assurance, and I have that foundation, not through any sort of role-playing or pretending, I simply start walking in the will of God. Not because I even necessarily have to pray hard and long, but because I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides me in all truth. The Holy Spirit orders my steps. Why? Because I'm thinking with the thoughts of Christ. I'm thinking with the heart of God. And the Holy Spirit starts to order my life. And it only happens because I have assurance. Because I have that foundation. Because I'm established in His love. Why is that necessary? Because that's the point where I'll finally relax. That's the point where I'll stop striving. That's the point where I stop with the anxiety. That's the point where I stop trying to get a handle on it myself and make it all happen on my own. Things that I can't possibly make happen. And that's the point where I'll stop thinking that I can make anything happen. See, apart from Him, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Him. Well, that foundation being established, that grounding, is that point where I can do all things through Him, because in all things I'm entirely reliant on Him. Having completely established my frame of reference through faith in His mind, and knowing how to think, therefore knowing how to choose and to decide. When somebody comes up with a choice, I don't always tell them, pray about it. Because praying about it is sometimes not the solution. Praying about it sometimes won't give them the answer. Why? Because they're not rooted enough to receive the answer. Frequently the answer comes not because God showed me something or spoke to me, but because I have the mind of Christ, and as I possess the mind of Christ, communing with the Holy Spirit starts to guide me. And I don't necessarily hear anything, but He simply guides me. And when I get to that point, I say, God, reveal Your will to me. And then the next morning, next week, next month, I have His will revealed. Why? I'm becoming rooted. And I'm becoming grounded. And I don't have to listen for an answer all the time. I pray and I know the answer. Because I have a communion going on. I have the right thinking going on. There are times when we don't have to pray at all because we pray without ceasing. Well, isn't that a bit contradictory? No, it isn't. I have a life that is constantly available to the Holy Spirit's guiding me, to the Holy Spirit's communion, to the Holy Spirit having fellowship with my spirit, and this is my lifestyle, and I don't have to do a lot of praying. Not in that kind of a way. I say a word or two to the Holy Spirit and He knows exactly what I mean, and the answer comes. The guidance comes. The leading comes. The solution. The feet are ordered. Why? I'm rooted. I'm becoming rooted. I'm becoming grounded. There's something that I have as a foundation that He's building on. Things aren't that difficult. Things are only difficult if it's me doing them. But nothing is difficult if it's God doing them. And I can tell myself till I'm blue in the face, it's God doing it, and I'm over here sweating it out. Saying, it's really, really hard, but it's God doing it. Well, if it's really, really hard, then it's not God doing it, is it? Because how is God doing something difficult for me? I'm not resting. That's why it's difficult. Sometimes people will say that's impractical. Well, you can have your anxiety, I'll take my faith rest. God is going to be faithful either way. Enjoy your anxiety and I'll enjoy my faith rest. But I'm going to get the answer either way. And so I would much rather live in faith rest, having developed a deeper root, than enjoy the anxiety, having developed a lot of gray hair, high blood pressure, and 5 years off my life. Being well rooted is the solution. Having assurance, living in the assurance that comes with the Word of God, with the promises of God, that is our solution. The answer itself is coming one way or the other, but the answer is not the solution. Because really, it's all about who I am in my own heart. And the answer is not going to change that. The assurance will. And so we live in assurance as we wait for answers. And as that takes place, we are rooted and grounded in the love of God. The Word of God says in Job 14:7 that there is hope for a tree if it be cut down that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. It is possible that believers sometimes faint. Fainting is really when I stop trusting God. It is possible for believers to get tired. Tiredness comes before fainting. And it's because my orientation is not entirely and purely toward the promises of God. Want is a very tiring thing. Sometimes I can have an expectation of something that God perhaps is bringing my way. Perhaps He calls me to something. Perhaps He gives me a promise or I have a prayer. And I have an assurance from God, from the Holy Spirit, and it's a bona fide Holy Spirit assurance, that He will bring my way that which I have asked Him or that which He has promised me. And I get that assurance. But I get tired anyway. Why? Wanting. I want the answer. And when I live in wanting, waiting is going to be increasingly difficult. Now, I'm not saying that my heart doesn't desire the answer. Yes, it does. Otherwise, I would not have asked. But there is a difference between desire and wanting. You see, desire comes as my heart desires God, as it fellowships with God. And proper desire is rooted in the love of God and the character of God, with a proper expectation from God. And then I may see perhaps God's hand or God's purpose in something, and my heart desires God's way. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so God puts these things in my heart as I'm rightly related to Him, and it is a desire. On the other hand, there is a want. A want is more like a craving. I want the satisfaction of the release. I want the struggle to go away. I want the trial to be over. I want the pressure to stop. And so there is a wanting. Wanting is more of a superficial satisfaction of some sort or another. People sometimes rush relationships because of wanting, where God rather have the relationship to be a desire than a want. When it's a want, then it becomes very superficial and often fleshy. When it's the heart of God desire, it is very deep, and it's very enduring. Where we get tired in the process is when we start wanting rather than desiring. I may desire as a parent for my children to be right with God. And in that, I keep my focus on Him. In that, I keep a confident expectation. In that, I have an assurance of His word to me. And my desire becomes the desire of God. I delight myself in the Lord, and eventually He will give me those desires. He will give me both the desire itself and the fulfillment of it. But I can also, as a parent, be very anxious about how my kids are behaving. I can, as a parent, go away from trusting God, looking horizontally at the circumstances, letting it affect my emotions, and also have it be a craving that I have, calling it healthy because it is, after all, love for my children. And it is. But it's a love for the children that has been met with want. I want my kids to be this way because it will be what I think that they ought to be. And because I care about them, it's very upsetting to me if they're not the way that I want them to be. And I get tired in the waiting process for them to grow. Well, that can be very difficult. That'll lead a person to faint. If I faint, I often stop trusting God altogether. How is it that Abraham managed to wait all that time for Isaac? Well, at first he fainted. At first he stopped trusting. And then we had Hagar and Ishmael come along. But something happened in the process in between, and that's here in Job 14. That there is hope for a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, this is where they fainted, and the stock thereof die in the ground, this is the mistake as a result of fainting, yet through the scent of water it will bud. Somewhere along the line between Ishmael and Isaac, the scent of water came into Abraham's life. And we don't know if that was even before or after the promise had been fulfilled. We do know it was before Abraham offered him on the altar. But somewhere in there, the scent of water came into Abraham's life. And when that scent of water came in, he started, his heart, his soul, started to pursue the Word of God. The Word of God produced fruit in him, new fruit. So it was no longer, how in the world is this going to happen? I'm too old for this to happen. My wife is too old for this to happen. Better take on Hagar. It simply became an issue of God said it, and it is so. And then when it was time to put Isaac on the altar, his attitude was, God said it. I have complete assurance. I don't care if Isaac is on the altar or not. I have assurance, and that's my solution. He went from wanting to desiring. But the desire came out of a delight in the Lord, rather than a wanting in his soul toward a son. And so he desired. In that desire, it was not a problem to put Isaac on the altar. Because he knew, no matter what he did, he had a promise, and Isaac was that promise, and he was not going to lose the promises of God. He had assurance. Assurance eliminated his anxiety. Assurance revived him after he fainted. Assurance allowed him to take steps of faith in pure faith rest. Assurance let him put the promise on the altar, knowing all the time fully well that the promise was not going to be taken away because it was the promise of God. And even when sight said otherwise, assurance allowed him to pick up the dagger and actually be ready to sacrifice Isaac, even though he knew that God would provide himself a lamb. that Isaac was not going to be sacrificed. Assurance allowed him to take steps of faith despite sight, despite desire, but with full conviction that what God had said was going to hold. He had assurance. He didn't have it with Hagar, but somewhere the root smelled water and fruit came up again. When the word of God comes in to a person that fainted, when they start drawing near, God starts drawing near to them. When they start drawing near and just simply receiving, and that's all they need, just simply receiving, the root starts growing again. And when this root starts growing again, the foundation is reestablished and the fruit appears. But it was through a faith response to the Word of God. If I don't live in faith responses to the Word of God, then I'm going to have a different root. In Hebrews 12:15, the Word of God says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled." We don't think of a root of bitterness as defiling. We always think of it as troubling. But by a root of bitterness, many are defiled. Why? Because it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out. And what comes out then can also defile others. What is it that's going to come out? Wrong confession. Wrong words. Remember, in Revelation chapter 12, they overcame the enemy by the word of their testimony. People start confessing doubt, confessing negativity, confessing anxiety, and their experience becomes a whole lot harder. You confess the right thing, and your experience becomes a whole lot easier. And you confess it not to be religious, but because you trust the Word of God. Some people say to themselves, "Well, I can't confess it because I don't feel it." That person is living having their emotions as their standard. It's not about how you feel. It's about what's real. What is the truth? The truth is God's Word. And so I don't become rooted in my feelings. I'm rooted in His Word through faith. And as I become rooted through His Word through faith, I reinforce it with positive confession. Not only is it good for me to do that, because I say it once, but I hear it twice. I hear it in my mind, and then I hear it as my ears pick up the words. Well, faith comes by hearing. So I confess the wrong thing, and the faith in the wrong way, the wrong sort of faith, a negativity, a pessimism, a defeatism comes in. Because it comes by my own hearing. Once in my mind, once in my ears. On the other hand, I confess the right thing, and faith comes by hearing. Once in my mind, once in my ears. And when I confess the wrong thing, I defile other people. I put seeds of negativity, seeds of doubt in other people. And not only that, but then I also let the atmosphere know exactly what is the place to attack me. And so now I'm in a very difficult position through my own confessions. Because all the atmosphere really needs me to do is start confessing the wrong thing, and I'm going to send myself in circles. And then, sometimes people become casualty. And if they don't become a casualty, they become just plain worn out. At that point, the person needs to stop. Draw near. Receive the word, like a child, and start mixing faith with what they hear. Because if I'm not rooted through faith, and grounded in love, my only other option is bitterness. And it will come. Absolutely, it will come. And even if God delivers to me that which He has said, the bitterness is now rooted. And it keeps growing. So I don't approach my life. I don't approach God's call. I don't approach God's promises. I don't approach my circumstances. I don't approach my prayers in anything other than believing God. Because that's reality. See, we have this strange mentality. Intellectually, we'll consent that the Word of God is real, but when it comes to our own thinking, we don't believe it, and we get all anxious, and the anxiety is what reveals our thinking. And we say to ourselves, well, I can't help it. And the answer is, that's not true. It's a question of what you have chosen to focus on, and yes, it was a choice. You see, I may be anxious, and so by choice I keep focusing on my anxiety as though somehow that'll help me. But you know, it's amazing how when things get bad enough, there's always that point where the mind changes and a different choice is made. And a person says to themselves, all of a sudden, I believe God. Why? Because He brought them to the place where He broke that in them. And now they finally believe God. It's not like they said to us, oh, today I'm choosing to believe God. No, you know what the difference is? Today, they humbled themselves. The choice was toward humility, not toward believism. It was toward humility. Because the Word of God is reality whether you acknowledge it or not. When I humble myself, I simply agree. What needs to be broken is pride that says God's Word isn't quite right in my life. Well, yeah, it is. Pride says it isn't. And so He breaks it. And when He breaks it, we're released. And we're actually becoming rooted. And now we have a peace, and we, at first, if we try to look at it naturally, we'll say, well, I've resigned myself. You can resign yourself all you like, but God's Word is still true. God's promises are still true. He's just trying to get you rooted. And sometimes He needs to break me to do it. I always found it interesting the way that nature has been designed, that the hard external coat of a seed is worn away. A bird will eat the seed. The stomach juices, the stomach acids will wear away the coat. Then the bird eliminates the seed, and the seed is able to send down a root. But the seed, the coat, the hardness has to be done away with. And this is like us. Sometimes some trials come just to get rid of the hardness so that the root can go deeply. Because if the hardness is there, the root never gets out. And this is the purpose for some of our trials. In Colossians 1:20, and God purposed that though, by the service and intervention of Him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to Himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through Him, the Father, made peace by means of the blood of His cross. And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from Him, and were hostile of attitude of your mind in your wicked activities, yet now, as Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of His flesh through the death, in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in His Father's presence. And this He will do, provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith of Christ, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the glad tidings, the gospel, which you heard and which was preached as being designed for and offered without restrictions to every person under heaven. If I'm going to succeed as a believer, if I'm going to continue, if I'm going to continue being well rooted and grounded, it will only be through the Word of God. This is one of the problems with familiarity. When people enter into familiarity, and this is one reason why the enemy brings familiarity, when people enter into familiarity, if they were rooted, the root withers. If they were grounded, the foundation dissolves. And so, I have to be careful that I stay continually in the Word of God. Continually building myself up. Continually refreshing myself in who God is, what He said, in His promises, in His Word, in His character, in His love for me. I can't let up on that. Because if I let up on that, the root will wither. And so, a person may be well-rooted, but well-rooted does not mean that I don't tend the plant. Well-rooted comes because I tend the plant well. And so, I don't let up on that at all. If I'm finally at a place where I have peace in my heart that passes understanding, where I have faith rest, where I have that confidence and assurance, I tend it. It's possible for people to get to that place and then get a little bit lazy. And it's similar to the man who said to his soul, "Soul, you've accumulated a lot of things and now you can kick back." Well, in application, this is not speaking about being rooted, but as an application, we can do the same thing. When we finally start to grow spiritually, Satan brings in familiarity. Why? So he can wither the root and dissolve the foundation. When a person is spirit-filled, when they hear a message, it's always fresh. When a person is spirit-filled, when they hear a message, it always gives life. When a person hears a message, they may be tired and may be physically difficult, but the spirit inside them still responds. And so, I don't get familiar with the message, I eat it up more and more. And the deeper the root, the more I eat the message. The deeper the root, the more I get built up. Why? To maintain the root. To maintain fruit. To maintain the foundation, the grounding. Because on that grounding, on that foundation, is where my life is built. And so Satan will try to bring in familiarity to dissolve all that. If he succeeds, then I return to the place I was before I had any root at all. If I get there, that happens to me, I humble myself and start to receive the Word again. And then the roots will grow again. And the foundation gets reestablished. But the Word is critical to this. It is crucial. Jesus said, and we're closing with this, "Whoever," in Matthew 7:24, "hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which has built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock." It had a grounding, it had a foundation. And everyone, and of course the house is talking about our lives. And so when there's a strong foundation, a strong grounding, we have a firm foundation for our lives. And you can have winds come, and you can have storms come, and you can have trials come, and the house is safe. "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." In a way, it kind of reminds me of that fairy tale of three little pigs. The one had a a brick house, stone house. It was strong and didn't matter what happened. But the one had a hay or grass or something, right? Well, you know, if I build in my life with wood, hay, and stubble, it's not just a loss of reward. It's my life doesn't hold up. If I live in emotionalism, which is hay, my life doesn't build up. If my house is built on my emotions, it doesn't hold up. And a trial comes and I'm in trouble. Trial comes and my emotions are haywire. I don't know what to do. I live in confusion, frustration, anxiety, fear, shame, anger. Why? Hay house. Built on the wrong things. Built in emotions. Received the word but never mixed faith. Or received the word but never insufficiency. What does a person like that do? Receives the word and mixes faith with what they hear. They need to change the grounding, the foundation. They need to change the root before they can change the foundation. And so I start to receive the word in simplicity and faith. And if I have to, I listen to it all day. Not to have noise in the background, but with concentration, receiving and mixing faith with what I heard. And yeah, that's going to take some academic discipline sometime. And you know what? That's okay. We have this mentality sometimes that academic discipline is almost like the plague. Well, it's hard for me to listen. I have to concentrate. Good. Learn how to concentrate. Learn how to concentrate on the Word of God. Learn how to, in academic discipline, sit and listen with academic concentration to the Word of God, receiving it in pure faith as a child, and let it profit you. And then you'll have good roots. If you have good roots, you'll have a good foundation. If you have a good foundation, you'll have a good structure that holds in the time of your testing. The testers are going to come and they're going to reveal what we have. So we establish ourselves through faith in the Word of God. And as we do that, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, and we become grounded in the love of God. And then you can put anything you want on that, because the foundation is right. The structure will be right. And the test won't damage the structure. It won't damage your life. And you can actually have faith rest as you have faith obedience. Not becoming a casualty, because the grounding process has taken place. This is why he said, don't lay hands on any man quickly. It takes time to get well rooted. And so take the time, because everything else depends on the root. Amen?